DOS, KO4NUE. I4DOS, KO4NUE.
KOE-N0DR.
What's going on with you tonight, sir?
I'm up against the Dairy Queen here. Bernice is having a dip cone, and I'm having a regular ice cream cone. I heard you call Gary, so leave a little time in there. I don't think he come back to you, but we'll give him a listen here. I call sign there, Chad, did you?
Not. This is KO4NUE, looking for KI4DOS.
I can use a comb too over there, KV4NC.
Oh, that's Gabriel, my friend. Chad's on the other end here. Gabriel, good evening. And send it over to Mr. Chad.
Well, I'm just looking for Gary. I need to pass along a little information on him, for him. I tried to get him up on single sideband, but couldn't get him there. But I'll pick him up on the 2-meter net tonight. I'm going to have to drop out, Tom. It's time to fill the stove. I'm up here at the deer camp. So I hope you enjoy your dip cone. And I'm going to have to clear on out. KO4NUE, I'll be clear, moving to another frequency.
Good to hear you tonight, and I am the, except if that bear comes around to visit you tonight, 73s. And Gabriel, go ahead. With you, Chad, and I think he was signing out, but if he didn't, I'll listen. This is 0TR, clear.
Yeah, we double up, but I just was waiting to see what happened. How you been, Tom?
Oh, we're doing just fine. Same old, Gabriel. How about you and the family?
Through life. I guess that's what matters. No missing people. We're going to end the year with everybody account for. We miss a couple friends, no family members so far, a couple silent keys that we know, but we're still hanging in there, Tom.
Good evening, Gabriel. I'm glad to hear you. We are too. We just come from a concert, which I don't like going to large gatherings, and I didn't expect it to be large, but it was. I just with my helmets and that, and Bernice's, we just try to stay out of large gatherings. But we had our masks, and it is what it is, and that's about all you can do. And yes, thank God we're all still here. I'm glad to hear you're still around, Gabriel. That's a plus nowadays, isn't it?
N0TR in the group came before NC. Yeah, that's, I don't know, man. Last year was rough, but this year it turned rougher. But we will get there. We will get there. Every generation's got something to deal with, and we got this little thing right now, and as long as we can push him through, and everybody doing his part, and I guess we can get there. Wait to see how the winter is gonna come. I guess it's going to come with a little bit of week, in California and the mountains. It's snowing, and the South Park Valley is raining. So, well, nothing we can do about it, Tom. It's just keep doing it.
Well, you got a good attitude, Gabriel. What I really feel for this Christmas is those folks that were in that devastating tornado up there in the central part of the United States. We lived there for 62 and a half years, and I got to tell you, every year we had tornado warning after tornado warning. But they're saying it's global warming, but I can tell you, we've been here 12 years, and 2 years after we moved here, we flew back to Kansas to visit our brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and that tornado had just hit Joplin, Missouri. And this tornado that went through was on the ground a phenomenal amount of time, like 200 miles. But I stood there in Joplin, Missouri, and looked at a strip 6 miles long, three-quarters of a mile wide, right through the center of the city that took out the hospitals and the schools and Walmart and Home Depot. I just can't name them all. And it killed 190 people, and I think they're saying they're up in the, I don't know, 70s or so. I haven't really kept up with it. So it's not out of the ordinary to have a tornado in December. We had them in December in Kansas. I can tell you that right now.
I've been saying this all along. I mean, as radio operators, back in the days, you know that better than I do. We receive information fresh, you know, straight from the plant. I mean, you know, fresh cut, that's what we call it. Because we talk with people from different places, different countries. And we got the news. That was the chat room back in the day. I was explaining that to my daughter and to my son Alex. And I just said, that's how we learn from things happening beyond the mountain I used to see back in my house. And now it's different. And he told me, say, why? Well, because now we got Facebook. You know, it's just normal things happen. Yeah, climate change is a big factor, but these things have been happening way before we even existed on this planet. So, and they're going to stay here long after we're gone if this mud ball is still floating into space. They will happen. It doesn't matter what. But, you know, we didn't have Facebook back in the day. And the group, N0TR, this is KB4NC.
This is N0TR. Yes, Gabriel, and I've seen in my years here, and I've been here 73, I've seen climate change. I remember sitting on the Coca-Cola case in front of our old grocery store back in Kansas and seeing the thermometer reading 115 degrees back in the late 50s. So it happens, and I won't say we're not offending the climate. We are, and we got to change some. But you're not going to change it in 4 years, put it that way, without going into that. But we've got to start someplace, and the other places in the world have to start too. And if you abuse it long enough, you'll lose it. And that goes for anything. Well, what have you been doing on HF? I haven't found a whole lot on there lately. I've been working some CW. But even it's been a little bit on the sparse side, Mr. N0TR.
Well, I was making that much until recently that I put again the rig on the truck and I started to do a little bit of HF. sorry, but the other day I jumped on the 10-meter Countess wagon. I like it, you know. But actually, your antenna put me three very good contacts on 10 meters. I get Argentina, I get Chile, and I get, what was it? One of the islands, the Caribbean. Saying something, I don't remember, but it's in the Caribbean. That's the three I made. I made quite a few locally on nighttime, and some on the state on phone. But that was a good contact on 10 meters on CW. I've been trying to make a long jump team for 10 meters, and that's a project for next year. Because I stopped driving to Atlanta, Tom. I'm gonna stay local most of the time now, so I'm gonna have more time to play again.
This is NZOTR, KG6-4MC. I'm watching traffic here, Gabriel, and I got to get out here. On the 101, we left the Dairy Queen. Well, that's great. I looked at the 10-meter contest. I've never worked 10 meters very much. I got, I think 102 countries on there. Just never did, and it would have been easy as pie. Years ago, I got 8 out of the 9 bands now on DXTC, and I used to not even care until I moved down here and the guys got me interested in that a little bit. And I still am not a numbers person. I just like to do it if they're different. I like working different countries. But I've been trying to get 160 a little bit, and boy, that's a tough band. I asked my friend NY4G, and he said, I said, how'd you get DXCC on that area? And he said, a lot of sleepless nights. And I'm just not that much into it. Back to you, Gabriel.
The Gentleman's Band. Man, that's the juju band. I mean, it's some verticals that work pretty good. Actually, myself, I like to get the Budiger. But that sucker is almost 50 foot long. It's 50 foot high. I mean, it's 40. They started at 45, and I was talking to the guys at the gap the other day, because I need to reveal a friend of mine, a vertical. They jump into 48, I guess, feet for some reason. That's the new enhanced design. They tell them nobody knows, but the new ones are like almost 3 foot longer, and they work pretty good in 160. But boy, you're talking about 500 something feet full size dipole. So yeah. That's you need to have some property for strong that thing.
Roger. Well, I got the Carolina Wyndham. It's 265 feet long, but they built about 400 houses up there not too far from me, and I noticed the noise on the band scope a lot more than I used to, and my beverage is only about 325 feet. So that's too short. You need about 525 to do good on 160. Now, N4IQ, he uses beverage on the ground, the bogs, and he's only running 200 feet. But I've been having some trouble with mine. It attenuates the signals, and I'm trying to figure out why the other night. And I had a hold of a piece of braided about 1 inch wide braid that you ground with, and I should have shut down the ray, and I was taking a little 7/16 rinse back there and was undoing the beverage from a lightning arrester, and I was going to put the analyzer on it, and I dropped that piece of braid, and hit one of the band pass transistors, or the bypass transistors on the back of my 35-amp power supply. And guess what? Click. And I blew a bridge rectifier out of it, so I had to replace that. This is NZOTR. That was a dumb mistake.
That's trust me. I know. Been there doing that a couple times. Yeah, I mean, I was with the idea to get to the 160 content, but when I realized, man, I was stuck with a lot of jobs and a bunch of projects. I was, you know, parking for all the time that I was driving. I got an old USD magazine at the sign for a wire Yagi for 160. It's a two-element wire beam. Boy, it tickles me to build that thing, but I don't. Cause people like to use like 12-gauge or 14-gauge. I don't know. I like heavy gauge or do that. At least 9 gauge or maybe 4 gauge will be great, but Jesus Christ, I mean, it will be 1,300 feet of wire. That thing will be a little bit heavy for my taste, but man, I wish I can build that thing just for one day testing in a contest.
Yeah, you're dreaming. The last I got in 4IQ told me about this. It's an insulated copper-coated steel. It's tough as a boot. Bob, ND7J, uses it too on his wire antennas. And I mean, it's tough. So I got it. I can't remember. I think it's number 13. But I don't really remember for sure. It's not a huge thickness, but that's what I made the. It's a very much a duplicate of the Radio Works 160 Carolina Wyndham. It's got a line isolator in it, and I got a 5,000 watt Balun on it. It works real good. But, you know, it's not like having something like that. But it's a winter band, so, you know, right now it's a little early yet. And it'll get better as the winter goes on. Gabriel, we've just arrived at home. I really enjoyed the QSO, and thanks for riding along with us.
Hi, Gabriel.
There's the War Department sitting next to me, and she snarfed up that dip cone. I just got a plane when I don't like that chocolate on my Dairy Queen. You take care. Give them kids a hug, and be safe out there. This is NZ0TR Clever. It's your final, Gabriel.
It's been a pleasure. Good night to the wife over there. Yeah, I was thinking that, you know what, I was using very quick for a long time aluminum wire, 9-gauge aluminum wire, and boy, that thing works, and it's really lightweight. So I was just on eBay contacting the same guy. I bought my last roll for cheap. That was really cheap, and you can run serious juice on it, and it works pretty good, and the fact that it's thicker, the noise level is a little bit lower, and it's more broadbanded than regular stuff, but we pick this thread somewhere sometime later. Tom, nice talking to you, man. We talk again another day. Sandy Trace, this is K before NC.
Good night, Gabriel. NZ0TR clear.
RKB4CPA.
Hi, Dave. I started to holler at you earlier when you was headed down to the tennis court, and you was in a two-so with another gentleman there, and I didn't want to interrupt. How you doing?
Jumped in there. I'm doing good. I just got back in the car and headed to the house, and my back's killing me. Oh, me. Well, I tell you, got a workout tonight.
I bet you did. Well, My back's killing me, too. We went to the grandson's band concert. I was really impressed. Seventh graders, and they did a very fine job over at Riverside, and their band director is just one of these vibrant guys. You know, you've played under people like that before, and we really enjoyed it, my golly.
It makes a difference if you got a good director and you know, they're energetic and everything. Unfortunately, I had in high school, my band director was an alcoholic, and he wasn't a whole lot of help with anything, to say the least. That's putting it mildly.
OTR. Yeah, I'll find business on that. I was raised around an alcoholic that my dad used to hire for a butcher. He was a fine, fine man when he was sober, but that wasn't the case when he drank, and he couldn't help it. But, like I said, he was a fine guy. I used to take him fishing after he retired and that and stuff, and he's really good around the kids. When he was in his 70s, he was going down the slippery slide and stuff like that with him. We'd go over to Lamar, Missouri, to the park. So the good old days. But yeah, the director can make a great deal of difference. I used to go to horn clinics around the country, and boy, you knew it right off when the director stood up there. He could just suck it out of the kids. You know, it's unbelievable what youngsters can do at times. There was a kid tonight played a duet with a clarinet, I think, or something. Anyways, and he played oboe. You know, and I know playing oboe in the seventh grade is a bugger. Boy, he did an outstanding job.
Most difficult instrument to play in tune. And that's why the orchestra tunes to the oboe, because of that. But of course you already know that. But anyway, my junior high teacher was great. He really pushed me to excel, and I made all state band and all district, all county, all that stuff, and I was in all state chorus too. And singing in the singing Christmas tree, and man, I was busy in music when I was in school.
Yeah, our kids too. Amy was first year in the state band in it was a KU one at Bernice. I can't remember. Wichita. She won that position, and then Shelley was first year quite a bit on her flute. She'd go to music camp at KU, Kansas University, every summer. And now she plays in the Michigan Philharmonic, so I guess she's doing all right, Dave.
So I never rose to that level. I played the B-flat clarinet, but after high school, I pretty much set it aside until, gosh, it was probably 20 years. 15, 20 years before I picked it back up, and I took it over to Pecknell and let them totally redo it, and I think it cost as much as what my dad paid for the clarinet when in the 60s, but it plays good, I mean, considering who's playing it, but anyway, I did a lot better in chorus. I enjoyed chorus better anyway. I just enjoyed being around the singers and all the harmony and stuff and all the fun we had. I tell you, all-state chorus was a heck of a lot more fun than all-state band.
Well, I never wanted to depend on me to sing. I can tell you that now with my voice. I just wasn't cut out for it, Dave. But I did enjoy playing my French horn. Well, Dave, we've been sitting here in the drive, and it's a pleasure talking to you this evening. I was talking to Gabriel for quite a while, and we're getting ready to pull in the garage when you come on. Come on there, and I didn't want to miss you, and I got to go in and jump in the rain locker, and then I might go back downstairs and see what's on the radio. But I don't know. I'm an old man. I might be wore out by then. You take care, my friend. We'll talk to you later. KB4CBA in 0TR73, Dave.
I appreciate you coming back to me. I didn't realize you were sitting there getting ready to pull in the carport there. All right, well, you behave yourself, and it's always good to talk to you, and I'm sure I'll talk to you again, but if I don't, have a Merry Christmas. But I'm sure I'll catch you on here before then. 73 is in 0TRK before CBA mobile.
4HKX, KO4NUE.
NUE, KK4JBQ.
Hello, Mr. Larry. How are you?
I turned on the radio. I just finished my evening feedings and whatnot, so... And there you are. I just turned you on, as you said your call sign. I don't know if you were calling somebody else.
In touch with Patrick or anybody could give me the PO tone for the 195 machine, but that's all right. I'd rather do this.
With a spreadsheet with that information, give me a moment to find it.
No, don't worry about it, Larry. Don't worry about it at all, because I've got this machine of AKs up here, and I just realized that as far as the warns net goes, I can listen in, but I cannot make it to the repeaters, and I'm gonna have to fix that. I can't be up here and not be able to hit those machines. And AK did not have the 195 machine in his radio, so I think that's about the only one I'm going to be able to hit.
The only one you can hit. Why is that?
Hit on the warns link system. I can hit most of the repeaters up here, but I cannot hit the 442 I've got written down over there. There's three of them. I tried to check in three times, and I just cannot make it in. But I know I can hit. I think it's 195. It's just not in the radio.
195. I'm seeing a lot of others. So, you wish to talk to someone about? You're doing research for your Warren's presentation, right?
47195. And like I said, that should be K9OH. But I don't have, like I said, it's not in this radio. And I don't have PO tone, but I got to clean the memory up anyway. So I'm just going to take it home and straighten it out this week. No biggies, but I'll get it straightened out. But no, actually, I think I'm good on warns. I think I've got enough to present.
It's good to have it whittled down to something easy to understand with a few questions left unanswered so that there'll be questions after. You know, I remember making lots of presentations, and the strategy to do that is to... as I recall, is to get one long, you know, if you were writing a script or something, it would be 5 pages long, and then whittle that down, 60%, so you have 2 pages left, go with the 2 pages. Now, you haven't covered some things. It was actually 5 pages long, and it's short, as brief as you could make it, But what you do is you rewrite those two pages so that you insinuate or you leave open some questions that are left unanswered. And those are what you fill up the question and answer period after the presentation. It worked out to be smart to do it that way. It actually worked out very well. So, have you been thinking any more about the antenna situation we were talking about earlier?
I got a couple questions for tonight. Let me wait till then, because I've got a couple of them written down, and I'm on the verge of getting two more. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm gonna word it.
Oh, good enough. When you said last night, I guess it was last night, that you want to take a couple of days off, does that mean that you hope to be absent during the roundtable tonight, or I'm just wondering?
I've been pushing hard and heavy in the ham shack to complete some training that I needed to complete, and getting ready to take final exam, and all of a sudden my radio quit, will not transmit in data mode. So I spent, I don't know, a day and a half trying to figure that out, or floundering rather, and I've had two tech support guys VPN trying to help me figure it out. They can't figure it out either. But I think after sleeping on it and thinking about it today, I'm pretty sure I know what's going on. But I have to have... So that was on my mind last night. So I know what direction to go and what to try now, so I can change gears on something else.
Yeah, I've never tried that myself, running a radio in data mode. Actually, I put my 857 away. It has a CAT connector on the back, and the instructions give you what pinouts to use for using it in data mode. It's capable of doing that, but I just never did it. It wasn't that popular. Oh, goodness, just maybe 4 years ago. And then FT8, I guess it is called FT8, became a whirlwind of popularity, and I didn't think it would be that people would be that crazy about it. I watched a video. Joe Taylor, one of the developers of JT65 and all the FT things that came after, I heard him talk about it, a presentation. I think he was on the campus of Princeton where he works as an astrophysicist, I think. So it's very interesting, some of it over my head, certainly. But it caught on like wildfire. I guess because people can just set it up, let their radio do the work, and they take all the credit for the contacts. Maybe that's not how it is, but that's kind of how I see it. KK4JBQ.
4NUE, 4ID. Yeah, I think with FT8, I think there's actually some login software there that will, the computer does it all. It initiates transmission, it logs the receive, and automatically logs it. And I understand the joy in that. That's just not my cup of tea. But I'm not saying anything negative about it at all. I'm just saying, as you know, I'd rather talk to the person. You know, let me put it that way.
Same with old contest exchanges, things like that. Folks who really like to, talk to somebody and not just give a canned exchange and move on to the next contact. I can understand that during a contest, but there are some, especially data modes, that are, they're limited like that. You have a window where it transmits, a window where it receives, and then it just repeats, you know, around the clock. Around the clock face, it just repeats. It is cool and perhaps even beneficial to know where your antenna is being heard. There are other ways of doing it, beacons, for instance. But FT8 will generate, I believe the software will generate a map of, the area of interest. If you want to include the continental United States, lower 48 anyway, and Europe, easy. If you want to, you have to shrink the map down a little bit, thus capturing more area. If you want to see if you're being heard in South America, for instance, or Australia, that's the other side of the globe. But to know where you're being heard, especially if it's weighted one direction or another, and you're trying to set the antenna up for your area of interest. You want to go west from here, or you want to go east from here. That's totally different, and your antenna has to be oriented if it's in the least directional, in most even verticals, depending on their radial field, can be directional. KK4JBQ.
Specific target, I guess, other than a couple of frequencies. But, I'm able to do that successfully with what I got. I built another dipole I got up here at the deer camp. And I tell you, I understand that the G5RV I got is not set up right. I'm admitting that now. But I'm going to tell you, this communication wire I'm using, it is, I don't know if it's a wire, I don't know what it is, but it is quiet. I mean, it is really nice. And I think I just stumbled across it just because I had it. But I'm tickled to death with both of them.
That's very good. You know, wire has properties. I think among the semi-precious metals, copper is the best. For conductivity, and that's why all our house wiring is copper. I think most of it is, and at one point, I think during the mid-70s, they experimented with aluminum wire. Oh, goodness, that was a big mistake, a big fire hazard, because aluminum has a very different coefficient of resistance, so you pull a lot of amps through aluminum and you will get melting. So you had melting, and then aluminum seems it draws and becomes a finer wire. It deposits on either end of the unmelted portions, and so you have this tiny, they'd open the walls and find this tiny little strand of wire because the aluminum had melted back. and his tiny little wire was carrying as much as it possibly could, and then it would short, well, it would open, and just at the moment of opening, there would be a momentary short, and that'd be enough to cause a spark at that, those amperages, enough to cause a spark in a house fire. So they got rid of aluminum in house wiring. And of course, we wouldn't use aluminum because it stretches so easy.
So I'm on. I've got some extra wire at the house. It's I don't know. I want to say it's 14. 14 gauge copper. So I'm on. I may experiment with that. Seems nice to go. Depending on how well I comprehend the information, so we'll go from that. But I came up here to deer camp this morning, and I spent a little time with my cousin this morning. It's always enjoyable. And then went and cut some firewood, and got the wood stove going, and I'm just living it up. So, KO4NUE for ID.
Terry says, leaving, letting the old man on the mountain have his say. It also cools down a little bit. living the good, easy life. If what you are concerning yourself with is cutting wood and giving yourself some warmth, that's focusing on the right thing. We live complicated lives, we really do. I remember trying to read Thoreau's Walton Pond, and as good as that piece of literature is, I couldn't keep myself focused on it. I couldn't. I think it was the language, the way he used the English language. It was challenging for me at the time. I was still in elementary school, so, you know, that's not saying much. I should probably try to read Walden Pond again. But it is a treatise on refocusing your life and choosing to focus on the simple matters. And since he wrote that back in the 18-something or other, life has just gotten exponentially more complicated. Everywhere you look and everything you touch is infinitely more complicated than his life was. KK4JBQ.
And one time, Abraham Lincoln had a quote that if you heat with wood, you warm yourself twice, referring to the processing portion of the wood. It takes a lot just to get it in the stove, you know. But I tell you, nothing like wood heat.
Nothing like that. It makes me think of several nice remembrances of the past. One is going to church in the little country church that I was baptized in, and first a member of, and things that were going on. I was just a little boy. And things were going along that I did not understand. Believe me, I did not understand it. I would watch the grown-ups do things, and nobody would explain anything to me, and I was embarrassed to ask questions. So I'd spend a lot of time by the stove. This was a church house that was heated by a stove in the back. So the closer you got to the altar, the colder you got. Well, I didn't go up there. I stayed in the back, and I would get close to that stove until I started smelling the fabric of my clothes in the heat, and then I'd turn. and I turned around and I faced the stove until my face got so flushed that I turned a little more, you know, just turning round and around by the stove, a big pot belly stove. Churches aren't made like that anymore. and then there was my dad who showed me what wood stoves or wood heating was, would warm you twice. He had me swinging an axe, and he'd use a sledgehammer and a wedge. He'd use that too sometimes, depending on how big the log was, to wedge it apart. There was some wood that would really do that. Oak would split really well that way, and hickory would split really well that way, but other woods would not. He taught me all about that. And then it was the day that I spent with a bunch of hams with Mr. Ray. He had a fallen cherry tree, I believe it was, and he had cut it up into long pieces, suitable length for his fireplace, but then it needed to be split. And he had a splitter, and he put the word out. Let this drop a minute. Word out, and about six or seven of us showed up, and none of us had worked together before. But don't you know, at least that group of seven, eight including Ray, developed a way of working together so quickly. It startled me how we divided up the tasks that were to be done, and then each of us had a station to either roll the wood up and set it upright, and then others would place it in the splitter. He had a pneumatic splitter, and split it, and then we'd take that, you know, the pieces, and stack them. We stacked 2 cords of wood that day, and if you know what a cord of wood looks like, we worked for about 4 hours straight, and it was the quickest 4 hours, and we had such a good time. KK4JPQ.
The splitter I keep up here in the shed down there, and I just come up here, and that's already stacked from this summer. I moved a bunch down here for the sawmill, and some of it was kind of short for the mill, you know, so I just said, well, let me just go ahead and stack it here, and I'll burn it for firewood this winter. So it's been drying out, and it's pretty good wood, but it'll start back up in the spring. I'll bring some more down here and stack it up so I can split it, you know, but it's just a lot easier when you break it up into pieces like that. But when you buy yourself, you know, you gotta do it. I do it in stages, you know. Do this and finish that task, and then do that and finish that task, and then eventually you end up with a truckload of wood and a sore back. So that's where I'm at tonight, but it's a good feeling.
It's a good feeling. And it adds a bit of appreciation that you couldn't get any other way. If you've harvested the wood on your own property, you know, of course, first it involves selecting the trees, and then the whole process all the way through. You can sit back and feel the warmth, the glow, the heat, you know, you can feel that, and appreciate it in a different way than if you'd gone out and, you know, bought an armload of wood, as you've seen it stacked up at the convenience stores, I suppose. And it, for somebody like yourself that harvests their own wood, you must have to chuckle, you know, to see these little bundles of wood for $8 or $10. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, really small bundle for about $8. You're right. I just, me and Anna both laugh because she's done her share of splitting wood, too. But me and Anna were somewhere. What state it was, we went to some little store. And they had packages of firewood like that bundle and had a sign on it that said, organic firewood. I can't. Oh, my goodness. I guess people would do anything to sell something. But, you know, organic firewood.
Funniest. Yes. Harvested from organic trees. That is fun, Chad. Oh, I thought of something the other day, and I haven't asked you, talked to you twice or so since. I wondered if the Thermal Belt Club has ever, well, if they have field day and, you know, what that has been like. If you've been a member of the club, and I don't know, just tell me what you know.
I've not been a member there long enough to see a field day, but I know that they have had a couple. I don't know any details about it, but since I've been there, I haven't. But I got, I've talked with Dave. I got the deer camp down here for the Blue Ridge Club or the Greer Club, either one, if they want to come up here and do a field day, take a look at it and see. But, so the other thing, too, Larry, is we purchased some trees years ago to go on the property, cherry trees, apple trees, things like that from Park Seed Company down in Greenwood. Selling in the magazine, they were selling flower pots made out of manure. So they put it in this mold and press it. And I guess they put some kind of binding agent to hold all the manure together. But you can see the irony there. I can't say it on the radio, but you know you're good when you can sell manure at a high price, I'd like to add.
And I suppose you could just bury the pot along with the seedling, right? And it would have a starter fertilizer there.
The idea was to it fit inside one of those terracotta flower pots. And then they had some that were ornamental that you didn't plant anything. You just put it in the garden and it just, you know, just kind of deteriorated away into the neighboring plants, I guess that was the idea. But oh my goodness, you know, that's what you call just stick your shovel right in it. But more power to them, I like to tell them.
Sir, more power. That makes me think of another thing. There was a time, I must have been 10, maybe 10 or 11, and my dad thought, this is the year that I'm going to teach the boys how to take care of a garden. Well, in his mind, and I suppose this is true, there's no better manure for your garden than horse manure. So we went to a stables where they kept horses, and it wasn't that far away from the house, maybe 7 miles or so, not far at all. And I didn't even know it existed. And they were very happy for us to roll the pickup up to the pile there and bring it on over into the bed of the truck.
And we did that three different times before we had spread it over, about three quarters of an acre of ground, which was Dad's garden. He later, as he aged, he split that up into two portions, and he would farm for a couple of years one area, and then he would let that lay fallow for a couple of years while he farmed the other portion. But that man could grow, heaven's sakes. And he would fertilize with the best fertilizer on earth. And then when he'd let it go through winter, he'd put tobacco stalks on the land. And that would decompose and go into the soil. He built that soil up so it would grow anything. It would make the biggest ears of corn and either vining beans or bush beans, so heavy with produce, it was just ridiculous. Tomatoes as big as both of your hands together, and delicious, delicious produce from that land. He was the envy of everybody who knew about that piece of property, and he says it's nothing but knowing how to care for it, to care for the earth, and then the plants have all they need. Well, I'll never forget what it took. Three pickup loads, piled high with manure. So he says, when we first dug into it, when you actually put your shovel in it, when you first dug into it, steam would come out. And he told us how good that was. KK4JBQ.